Thank you. Welcome. Just welcome to our youth program. How many of you are youth? Not too many. Maybe 50%, huh? 60%. It's all right. You're as young as you, as your heart is, right? Huh? What do you think? You're as young as your heart is, huh? Okay. That means we're all about, what, 10 years old? So, the topic of this evening's discussion is mental health in the 21st century. Two things are sure. The 21st century is fast approaching, and mental health is fast decreasing. According to the World Health Organization, the biggest disease in the next century will be mental disease. So, it is a topic that is worth discussing. Of course, you don't have to wait till the 21st century, but nevertheless, we should be prepared for what may come by way of hard times. We already discussed this earlier in one class, that great distress is portended, is that the right word? By so many persons, by astrologers, by practical observation, computer problems. So how are we going to deal with the situations which arise in our lives and in the coming century, the coming millennium? Well, there's a Latin phrase that a sound mind in a sound body. The Puranas, it is explained, Indriyani Puranyahur Indriyebhya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabhute Yogbhute Paratastu Saha. The lowest level of our existence is the physical level, the senses. We are basically animals, human animals, but we're animals. We eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But above the physical level of existence, above the senses, is the mind. Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya param manaha manasastu para buddhe. The intelligence is above the mind, and yogode paratas tu saha. The saha meaning the soul or the self is transcendental to the intelligence. In fact, Krishna describes eight material elements, five gross and three subtle. So we have two bodies. We have the gross, subtle body, the gross physical body and the subtle material body. Pancha Mahabhut, earth, water, fire, air, ether. This is the gross body. And then mind, intelligence, and ego, which is the subtle body. So we have to be concerned about the health of both the physical bodies. It is a fact that there's a verse King Kulashekar. Maybe you have heard of King Kulashekar. He was one of the Alwars of South India. Have you heard of the Alwars? They were the predecessors of Ramanuja, Ramanujacharya. So there were many great Vaishnavas in South India. Contrary to some belief that Ramanuja was the first Vaishnava, not at all. There were many great Vaishnavas. Even there was a very famous Ando. Was that her name? A lady.
Ando.
Yeah. She was one of the 12 Alwars, was it? There were many great teachers. So King Kulashekar, he was a king, but he became a great devotee of the Lord. And he said that, let my mind, dear Lord, let my mind take shelter at the stem of your lotus feet. He gave the example of swans. Interestingly enough, swans like to swim where there are lotus flowers. It's a peculiar thing about swans. There are many interesting things about swans. Apart from the fact that swans are very beautiful, they also have an ability. Try it out sometime, the next time you meet a swan. Give him a glass of milk and water mixed. In other words, give him a glass of milk from your local Dudwala. Or the next time you want to test the quality of the milk you're getting, give it to a swan. He's able to extract the essence, the milk, and leave the water. So swans, another characteristic of swans is they like to sport amongst the lotus flowers. And they like to dive deep at the stem, down in the stem. I don't know what pleasure they get from that, but you'd have to take the body of a swan to find out. So King Kulashekar is using that as an example. He's saying, but he adds this element. He says that now that I am healthy, that I am in a sound condition of mind, let me now at this time, let my mind take shelter at the stem of your lotus feet. Let me remain fixed at your lotus feet. In other words, he's calculating that when I die, I might not be able to think of you. Now, here's the paradox. You know what a paradox is? It's not two doctors. Paradox is something which two opposing proposals or theses or whatever or situations come together at the same time. So here's the situation. You have to die, and the perfection of your life, janma lava parapumsam ante narayana smritihi, with a sound mind, meditate on God. That's the test. That whatever you remember at the time of death, just like when you sleep, whatever you think of before you sleep, you dream about at night. Usually it happens that way. So, similarly at the time of death, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam kyajati ante kalevaram. So here's the paradox. In order to meditate, you have to be peaceful. The mind, if it is distracted, just like, for example, We don't try to teach Krishna consciousness to people who are agitated, people who are disturbed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally did not speak philosophy in a large gathering of people. He promoted kirtan. He led kirtan, very ecstatic kirtan, and he made sure there was profuse distribution of prasadam. These two things, these were his weapons for destroying the demoniac mentality of people in Kali Yuga, the Uno bombers. There was a famous man in America that used to send bombs to people in the mail. He was doing it for 20 years. I think he escaped and came to India. He was known as the Uno bomber. That's not where the car came from either. Dude, oh, he's over. Somebody should tell him. Anyway, at the time of death, don't die at Diwali time, because it'll be very difficult to think of Krishna. More than bombs. Bombs will be going off in your body also, unfortunately. So King Kulashekar is saying that, dear Lord, when I die, all of my limbs, all of my bodily functions will be dislocated. It's a fact. The life airs help you to maintain your balance in the body. When the airs get out of synchronization, that's when you have trouble. That's when you get diseased, when there's excessive vata, or there's an imbalance in pitta or kapha. Then the body breaks down. So at the time of death, there's no more control over the life airs. You'll see sometimes, if you've ever seen a person die, especially an old person, their arms flail sometimes. Has anyone ever seen someone die? Yeah. Actually, it's hard to control your mind and your senses at the time of death. Take my word for it. Or you can test it out. So how the paradox here is, just at the exact point when you want to be peaceful and detached and meditate on God, that's the most difficult time of your life. Actually, the soul leaves the body when the body is too painful a place for the soul to live. Just like here at Hare Krishna Land. We have so many tenants who are paying 50 rupees a month for 600 square feet of apartment. And we've tried to make it so difficult for them that they would get out. No, that's not true. But just at the point when it's so, you know, when their apartment burns down or something, just at the point when the body is very painful, then the soul leaves. So that's death. So how are you going to remember God at the time of death if you have not, Krishna, Arjuna tells Krishna, that bhayoriva sudushkaram. My mind is so difficult to control, I would have better luck at controlling the wind. And Krishna says, yes, but abhyasena, by practice it is possible. So, the health of the physical body affects the health of the mental body. Of the gross body affects the condition of the subtle body. Therefore, mens sane in corpore sano. Mens meaning mind, incorpore in body. This is Latin, not Sanskrit. Don't worry. So, a sound mind in a sound body. So, in order to maintain our mental health, we need to have a balance between our physical and our mental. Therefore, it is said, yukta ahara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta svapna vabodasya yoga bhavati dukkha. You can mitigate all your suffering by a balanced life, by not eating too much or eating too little. Under-eating will cause you disturbance in the body and in the mind. Just like sometimes you go for an exam and you've got some fever in the body. Does that disturb your writing the exam? You bet it does. Of course it does. So the physical body affects the mind. And if your mind is agitated, what do doctors say about physical disease? About 70 or 80% of all disease is psychosomatic. There may be some physical disturbance, but it is excessively agitated by a weak mind. Someone who, just like people who die on the operating table or in an accident or whatever, where there's a chance they might live and a chance they might die. Those people who have a strong will to live, in other words, a strong mind, they generally survive. And those who don't, they generally don't survive. So the mind affects the physical health. So we need to have a balance. Therefore, in our activities of devotional service, we do not neglect the body. Rather, we take care of the body as much as is needed. We take care of the body in order to maintain a sound mind. And similarly, the activities of the mind can be our very best friend. The same mind left to wander here and there can be our worst enemy. What do they say about an idle mind? Devil's workshop. You know? A workshop for the devil, a place where all kinds of not only sinful desires, but painful thoughts and painful ideas. Distressful. Where does stress come from? It comes because either we're idle or we're over endeavoring. Both are out of balance. The mind must be properly engaged. It cannot be allowed to be out of control. For example, a person who endeavors for material success, they're never satisfied. So the mind is constantly leaping and ahead and ahead, trying to get more and more and more. The mind is never satisfied. Duspurena analena cha. The mind is always burning. It's always agitated. The senses are always burning, and the mind is the center of all the senses. There are 5 knowledge-acquiring senses. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the tactile sense. So the mind is the 6th sense. So in order to maintain peace of mind, healthy mind, satisfied mind, we have to take charge. The whole Bhagavad Gita is about Arjuna taking charge. Taking charge of his destiny, taking charge of his actions. Whimsically, capriciously, he wants to resign from the battlefield. He wants to give up doing his duty. And therefore he's in distress. He tells Krishna that my mind is in a chakkar, it's just going round and round, I'm bewildered. I don't know what to do. And he's crying. Here's a grown man, about 8 foot tall, with, you know, arms as big as this pillar. Makes all these guys just out here outside in this little house out here where they lift weights. Makes them look like, you know, 50-pound weaklings. Arjuna was big. He was a warrior. He was a Maharathi. He could defeat anyone. But because his mind got disturbed, he was almost crying like a little baby. He just didn't know what to do. And Krishna chastised him. He didn't show any sympathy for him, but he gave him engagement. He didn't give sympathy, he gave engagement. Prabhupada was like that also. He had many disciples in the West who had a difficult time coping up with the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. You cannot realize in India how difficult it is for a foreigner to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. It is a Mahayudh. It's a big battle to conquer the mind and the senses. So many disciples came forward, and maybe because of some internecine disturbance, some war, some fighting, it's always there. This is Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. And devotees would come forward in distress. Prabhupada didn't give sympathy. He gave them engagement so that they could engage their senses and their mind in positive works of devotion. And that's how they developed mental health. There are so many things that are going to come at you that you cannot know the number and nature of them. Just like people go to an astrologer to try to find out what is going to happen to me in my life. What is around the corner? What exciting events? What distressing events? How am I going to... I want to get them all written down so I can make a plan for each one. Right, so you have a perfect plan for everything that's going to happen to you, but it never works that way. The well-laid plans of men and mice... What? Come on, Robbie Burns. Gang after glide, right? Often go astray. The well-laid plans of men and mice often go astray. Your plans never turn out the way you want them to, because there are so many factors, unseen factors. The only way to face the situation is to become prepared, to take charge of your life, to take charge of your time, to make decisions, to make positive choices. Don't shirk from your duty. Analyze your life. Analyze what you want to achieve at the end of your life. What does this human form of life mean to you? What is this chance? Is it just a chance to compete with the cats and dogs? To have better sex? To have better sleeping? To have better food? Is that what it is? Or is there something deeper, something greater? And do you want to be successful at that? Analyze it. And then make some choices in your life. Take a direction in your life. Make a plan to succeed. Then you will be strong. Then you can face anything. Udredatmanatmanam natmanam avashadaya. Elevate yourself. Udred. Rise up. You're not meant to be a slave to the flesh like the animals. It's a beautiful poem. If you ever get to read it, it is the most exquisite poem. I love it. By Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Sharadgrahi Vaishnava. Very nice poem. Talks about our condition. We are meant to rise. We have a much higher goal as human beings, and especially as human Indians. Especially as human beings born in Bharat Varsha. Let's not say Indians, because Bharat Varsha means something else. Aryans. Aryan means something else. Ravana was also born in Bharat Varsha. Shishupal, Dantavaka, Kansa. We have a special destiny. Elevate yourself. Udarad Atmanatmano. Atmayava hi Atmano Bandura. Atmayava Ripuratmano. If you don't elevate yourself with your mind, then your mind will become your enemy. Mental health is within your hands to a greater degree. Now we may come. This is somebody may make the point that there may be certain physical limitations, brain damage, etc., that one may not be able to exactly overcome the limitations of adhyatmic klesha, miseries of the infirmity of one's own body and mind. Well, that's true. But you can at least make the best use of a bad situation by taking up the practices of Krishna consciousness. Wherever you are, you can tolerate better the miseries of material existence. You can be more peaceful than if you simply gave in to the capricious, whimsical desires of the senses. People are suffering, and believe me, there are a lot of people in India who suffer from mental illness. It is a lot bigger than you would think. There are literally millions and millions, upwards of 100 million people who suffer from one form of mental illness or another. I was just reading about manic depression. There are over 20 million people in India who suffer from manic depression. And that in itself is a very painful, excruciating disease. People who are manic depressives, they can be, when they're calm, they can be actual geniuses. You would never know. One of my colleagues, he was here at Hare Krishna, and he was a virtual genius. He had a very good memory. And he was a wizard at computers. Everything he put his mind to, he was a wizard at. But he was a manic depressive, and when his mind went, he became completely out of control, screaming at everybody, criticizing everybody. He was going through a lot of pain and suffering. But he also did foolish things. We all gave him advice what he should do and how he should control by taking the right medicine. But he wouldn't do it because he didn't take that advice. Therefore, he wasn't able to control. So part of Krishna consciousness is to do many practical things. Because this body is like a tree, and a tree gives fruits. So the fruit of the tree of this human body is Krishna consciousness. You get an opportunity to understand Krishna consciousness. So if you don't take care of your body, that is another kind of maya, because then you won't be able to get the fruit. Although the body is temporary, although the body is not sat, it is asat, but nevertheless, it is by the agency of the body that we are able to effect or bring out our own Krishna consciousness. So it is important to that degree. Not that we spend all our time on the body, but we have to be practical, we have to be reasonable, we have to be balanced. So mental health means a diet of chanting, of taking Krishna prasadam. These things will help us cure the madness of material existence. Anyone who thinks that he is the body is mad. Nunam pramata kurute vikama yad indriya pritaya apanoti. Such a person is mad. And yatato yapi kamteya purushasva vipastita indriyani pramatini haranti prasabham manaha. Someone who is lusty, who thinks that he's the body and thinks that his happiness comes from gratifying the senses of the body, ultimately he can do anything. And you see, when there's not enough to go around, people become mad. When there's only one bus and there's 500 people to get on the bus, you don't see queues. You see madness. When there's only, 10 train cars and there's 3,000 people who have to get to work in half an hour, you don't see sanity, you see insanity. And ultimately it's based on lust, anger, and greed. And when people get in the sensual consciousness, they can do anything. I'm just giving some simple examples. But in order to satisfy other material desires, people are prepared to kill or do anything. Why is there so much violence going on in Bombay today? Why are there so many gangs? What does it cost? 2,000 or 3,000 rupees, 4,000 rupees. Nothing. You can buy a murderer for a few thousand rupees. Why? Because people are feeling the pinch. There's no money in the market. People want money to maintain their prestige, to maintain their standard of living. I've got to drive a Maruti Esteem. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. I can't live without them. And I'm ready to kill or do anything to maintain my ego. So we have to somehow or other control our mind and senses so that no matter what happens to us, we will be peaceful. It is not, just like someone who comes to Krishna consciousness and is deaf. So it may be hard for them to engage in kirtan. Or someone who is dumb, can't speak. It may be hard for them to chant Hare Krishna. Or someone who's Chinese. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. They can't say Krishna. We have that trouble in China, teaching Chinese how to chant Hare Krishna. But if you have enthusiasm, determination, and perseverance, you'll do better than you would if you didn't try for Krishna consciousness. The purpose of your life is to be Krishna conscious. And Krishna is more concerned with your effort, and he wants you to come back to Godhead more than you know. It's not that you practice Krishna consciousness all your life, and then at the last moment you have an epileptic fit and you don't remember Krishna. He says, all right, you're disqualified. It's not like that. In the 17th verse of Isopanishad, the devotee prays to the Lord, remember me, Lord, even if I don't remember you at the time of death. And Krishna wants us to come back to him more than we want to go. So you don't have to worry, but you do have to make an effort. And making an effort means to get your life together. Yudyasva vigata jara. Krishna repeatedly tells Arjuna, don't give shudram hridaya dorbalyam. Give up this petty weakness of heart. Don't come to me with this silly pettiness. Stand and fight, Arjuna. Control your mind. Control your senses. What do you want out of your life? What do you want at the time of your death, what do you want people to remember you as? A good businessman? A great cricket player? Is that going to help you? Or should you be remembered as a nice, humble Vaishnava devotee who said, Hare Krishna, and left this world? That's what will take you to the eternal spiritual world, where there's no mental health problems at all. Because the mind is fixed on the most blissful Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what's the time?
28.
Okay, I'll stop there. And actually, I wanted to read you something. Keeps me going. I have this in my room. Wake up to it sometimes. 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam puspa phalam vidyad atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshe jivata jivati tam nasyad anritam mulam atmana. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there's no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. This sloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. The Mayavadis say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The spirit soul is truth and the external energy is untruth. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with the Mayavada philosophy. Even if for the sake of argument the material world is accepted as untruth, I mean, we don't accept the material world as false because it's the energy of God. And there's nothing false in God. It's simply a different division of his energy. Material energy is a temporary manifestation, but it's not false, it's real. But even for the sake of argument, if you take it as untruth, the living entity entangled in the illusory energy cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the flower and fruit, pushpa phalam, have to be attained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one can thoroughly study the Vedic instructions, and thus at the end of life, one can achieve perfection. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 8.6, yam yam vapi smanam bhavam. Everything is examined at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one can take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. Text 40. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. In this regard, Rupa Goswami says, prapanchikataya buddhya harisambandhi vastunam mukshubhi parityagyo vairagyam phalgukhatyate. One who rejects things without knowledge of their relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, prapanchikataya buddhya harisambandhi vastuna. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree, from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin, big long verse. The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for, because the body is temporary, not permanent. One cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body and the mind. So, it's a combination of practical activities and absorption in Krishna consciousness. That will help you in your facing the miseries which are bound to face all of us in the coming years. You will be able to live joyfully, even in the midst of the darkest times. We will be joyful. We will be peaceful, joyful, and bountiful, because Krishna will take care of us. Are there any questions? Yes.
As you mentioned in your lecture, it is not easy for a foreigner to accept Krishna consciousness in India. Could you tell me what is the ratio of acceptance of Krishna consciousness compared to the Western world? Why Western people are so serious in Krishna consciousness?
The question is basically, it's an often asked question, that why is it that it appears that foreigners are serious about practicing Krishna consciousness, where it appears that Indians are a little slow getting started? Well, I think that we were on a morning walk once with Srila Prabhupada on Jubal Beach, and one of his disciples from Gujarat, Joshomurti Nandana Das, who was a Joshi from Surat, who had just got his master's degree in engineering from USA, and he was, Prabhupada called him to come. He joined in the West, actually. Sometimes that happens. Many of our leaders, Indian leaders, joined in the West. Gopal Krishna Maharaj joined in Toronto, where he was working for Coca-Cola, something like that, Lady Clairol production manager, marketing manager, something like that. Anyway, they were walking, and Prabhupada was asking how his preaching in the colleges was going, and he said, well, the boys are saying that it's very good for those Westerners. They've already experienced the fruits of sense gratification, therefore they can renounce. But we want to first have material benefits, then we'll think about spiritual life. And Prabhupada said, yes, okay, that's all right, but you tell them that if that's what they really want, then they have to be prepared to work morning shift, afternoon shift, evening shift. They have to be prepared to work hard like donkeys, because that's the price that Westerners have paid. It's a fact that sometimes when you get a lot of facility for sense gratification, if you have a little intelligence, you get frustrated quickly because you realize there's not much there. Then there's different examples. Prabhupada gave the example of the bank of the river. So in the villages, especially on the bank of the river, people pass their ablutions, do their morning ablutions. They pass stool. So, and he's saying, because the stool is closer to the water, is a little wet, it's not dried out. So he's saying, oh, this wet stool is better than the dry stool. You know, stool is stool, whether it's wet or dry. So sometimes, you know, Indians are thinking that, you know, we have to go to America or the West for sense gratification. But that's like wet stool, dry stool. You have sense gratification here. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's all the same. Just because it's in America or Europe doesn't make it any different or any better or anything. And other examples Prabhupada has given, the young crow is very enthusiastic, whereas the old crow is not so enthusiastic. Why do people not take up Krishna consciousness so quickly in India? Well, there's been a tremendous change over the years. In fact, one of our most dynamic... Indians are, in fact, a little harder to convince. It takes them a little longer to take up something like Krishna consciousness fully. But when they take it, they don't reject it either. Whereas oftentimes Westerners, easy come, easy go. You know, they're attracted. And I know myself, I had nothing to worry about. I could try Krishna consciousness, and if I didn't like it, it's not that I was going to be poverty stricken or missed out on anything. I could go back to a wealthy family. I could go back to a social welfare society. I could go back to all kinds of opportunities. Whereas, just like you really didn't see the hippie movement in India. Hippies, the hippie movement was meant for wealthy people. When you've got money, then you can afford to tune on, turn in, and drop out. Turn in, tune on. I forget how that went.
Tune in, turn on,
tune in, turn on. Tune in, turn on, and drop out. You can afford to do that. The only place you found that in India was in Malabar Hill. Otherwise, there just weren't too many hippies. People couldn't afford to be hippies. They had to worry about roti, kapra, or makan. That was their slogan, not tune in, turn on, and drop out. Drop out of society. I want to drop into society and, you know, get a good job. So those are some reasons why India has been slow. But actually now we have huge congregations in Bombay, in Delhi, in Bangalore, and in many other places. They just had a huge Rath Yatra in Delhi, and Chandigarh is a big Rath Yatra. We have a wonderful congregation there. We have Rath Yatras all in Raipur and in so many, in MPUP, so many cities. We have thousands and thousands of people helping to organize. We don't even have temples there. So I would say the Hare Krishna explosion is just starting to take off in India. And it certainly was for many of us a little discouraging in the early years, because we expected to land on the shores of India and Everybody would say, "Hari Bol, Prabhus." But it wasn't like that. It was very difficult in the early years. I remember the first Indian man I met. That was in Vancouver. We were doing Hare Krishna Kirtan, and at the corner of two main streets in downtown Vancouver. And he was walking up one street. He turned the corner and he saw us chanting and said, "Oh no! This is exactly why I left India, to get away from people like you." That was my first impression of an Indian. So it was a little difficult in the beginning, but I think India is catching up pretty fast. And I really want to see, this is what I want to see, I'm still frustrated. I want to see Indians catch on fire with Prabhupada's missionary spirit. In fact, Prabhupada was not very interested in preaching in India because he said Indians to one degree or another are already Krishna conscious. He said, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order was that Indians should spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, ISKCON is offering pure devotional service. You know, we're offering Rolls Royces. We're offering a very high standard of Krishna consciousness. And that's the only thing that will get you into the kingdom of God. You have to come to that stage at some point. But even if people are a little Krishna conscious, it'll protect them from taking birth in the animal species again. At least they'll get another chance to make progress. Neha vikramanasho sti pratyavayona vidite swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate matovaya. They can start next lifetime at 5% or 10% or whatever. Any other questions? Yes?
You said about maintaining the body. You have to maintain a body nicely. Now, because of you, you fast.
I don't fast. You may fast. I have a feast. Just don't have any grains, that's all. Some people fast from water. Sometimes it's good to clean the body out. A little fasting is actually good for health. And on Dvadasi, your food really tastes good. But it's true, one day to shut the machine down and let it take a rest is very, very good for your overall health. When it's not like we're saying, okay, you got to fast 75 days for Ekadasi and no water, you know. Just one little day without grains. If you can do nirjal, it's not necessary, but if you can do it, it's also nice. Sometimes people even fast once a week on fruits or something like that. Very healthy habit. In fact, food is death. Interestingly enough, food promotes the fire of digestion. So food, the fire of digestion, digests your food. What else does it digest? Your body. It burns up your body. The less food you eat, probably the longer you will live. That's why I intend to live a short life. What to do? Krishna prasadam ki.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, I think our sponsor has a word here. Yeah. He wants to leave Kirtan.